Iran and the Ukraine are at the heart of two of the most significant political situations in America today regarding foreign affairs, separate issues that have become intertwined. Impeachment, however, is the most significant political situation in America today, period. And Ukraine is right at the heart of that as well. On this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we're going to be freewheeling on these topics. You guys said you like the freewheeling show, so we're going to be doing more of them. At our heart, though, we like researching and bringing information. So over the next few shows, we'll try to blend those two together to see what kind of mix we can get. Enjoy. Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we grow, giving you the reviews. So you only spend time on the docs that you need to. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen on these mother... And welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen. This is the show where we give you a review preview of information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind. Make sure that it is worth your time. We waste our time, our brain power, and our energy so that you don't have to. You are welcome, folks. You're welcome, folks. You're welcome, folks. As always, this episode, this show is sponsored by PacSync, PACTSINC.org, PacSync.org. It's a black advocacy organization that does what it can to help you be free. If you black, to be free of oppression, to do whatever you got to do or to inform you about your past. You can check them out on the website. Got a lot of information on the website available to you. So go ahead and check them out. Become a member. Tell a friend to tell a friend, sponsor, take a survey. You know the deal because I say it every show. Do what you can to do what you can because they doing what they can to do what they can. You feel me, homie? All right. And without further ado, let's rock it. Oh, Lord, Cletus. Where we start, Cletus? Where we start? It's been a crazy week. It's been a crazy, crazy, crazy week. Actually, it's been a crazy last few years, if we want to be 100% with it. And we always try to be 100%. It's been a wild ride. And it don't look like it's going to slow down no time soon. So what we got? This situation has been brewing for a long time. It's been something that's been in the works for a while. And by this situation, of course, I'm talking about the Iran situation. I did a show on it. When I talked about General Qasem Soleimani, you could check that show out. It's a good show. All the shows are good shows. But anyways, you could check that one out. I think that show came out a couple weeks back. But so if you want the background information and all of that about what's going on, you could check that show out. But since the general was killed, a plane was shot down. A civilian airliner was shot down. Now, at first, the Iranian government denied it. They said, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. We didn't do it. We didn't do it. And then finally, they was just like, we did do it. But it wasn't us. But it was us, but it wasn't us. But it was us, right? But it wasn't like us. It was them, us, if you feel me. Referring to the military. It's a particular branch of the military. So they've stepped up. They've taken responsibility. And Iran has claimed responsibility and has said that they would do the right thing for those people. And of course, you know, all of the other countries are acting tough and talking tough right now towards Iran. So, but that's neither here nor there, although it is significant in as far as what's going on in Iran, because the people there are protesting. They are up in arms. It started out as a show of support and affection for General Qasem Soleimani, but then a couple days later, maybe a week after his death, here the government was accepting blame and culpability for shooting down the Ukrainian airliner that was carrying a bunch of different people from various different countries, France, Canada, even dozens of Iranians themselves, were shot down by their military government, or by their military. and the show of support turned into a protest of anger. So there's a lot to unpack there, because in 1988, as I said on the show that I do with Joseph Ward, Freedom Train podcast series, the title show on the network, in 1988, Americans shot down an Iranian airliner that had over 288 passengers, right? And when it shot down this plane, the Iranian regime, which is still the same regime that's in power now, utilized that to galvanize the public against the United States. And they really haven't stopped utilizing that since. And it was used as an example of the incompetence of the American government and of the hatred that the American government has for not just the regime, the regime and leadership, the supreme leader of Iran and the regime that follows him, the government, but also towards Iranian people themselves. And so when you're using something like that for that sort of propaganda, for that sort of social cultural effect, when you turn around and do the exact same thing, people have been inculcated to be incensed by that sort of action, and you've just committed that sort of action. So there is that. That's on the table. But what's interesting as well is that a lot of this can still be laid at the feet of the United States. And like I said on that show, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with that, but the fact of the matter is that the government claims, and if we're believing and if this is true, the government claims that they were on high alert after they launched the missiles towards the Iranian base or the U.S. bases in Iraq. And they instructed their troops. The general instructed his troops to fire at anything that looks suspicious in Ukrainian airspace or in Iranian airspace. And the reason for that was because they were worried about a U.S. retaliatory strike. So one could argue that if not for the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani by the U.S., that airline would never have been shot down, because they would not have been on high alert. That order would never have been given. So, but beyond that, Iran also just recently dealt with an earthquake, 4.9, or I believe it was. And they're also dealing with the potential collapse of the further collapse of the Iranian nuclear deal with several other governments, of the French and several other Germany and a couple other governments that are in the deal with them, initiating a dispute resolution or mechanism in the deal that allows them to go before arbitration to talk about who's not pulling their weight in the deal and potentially get out of the deal. Now, they all paid a lip service in saying they want to maintain the deal and they want to stay in the deal, but they're also saying that Iran has to go back to complying with the terms of the deal. Now, Iran stopped complying with the terms of the deal because the U.S. pulled out. And the U.S. reinitiated sanctions, its maximum pressure campaign, extreme sanctions on the government, extreme sanctions that affect the government's ability to fund itself and to fund programs and do various other things. And the government, the economy of the country is in collapse. And the other members of the deal aren't really doing anything to alleviate the situation. Yes, they're trying to find workarounds, because part of the sanctions that the U.S. has placed on Iran also states that if anybody does dealings with Iran, they will also be sanctioned. So the U.S. is basically throwing its economic might around and saying that I don't care what these other countries think. We're not doing business with you, and we're not going to let you do business with anybody else. And if anybody else tries to do business with you, they're going to feel the full might of the U.S. government and the U.S. economy being thrown against them. And that is a powerful thing, because we are by far and large, we are by far and away the largest economy on the globe. By far and away, it's not even close. And when you have that level of economic might, that level of economic power, it gives you the ability to do things like this. So Iran started acting up after Trump pulled out of the nuclear deal, even though all accounts were that they were following the terms of the deal. And you can, I did a show about that as well. So they started slowly doing little things here or there, breaking certain limitations here or there, going above certain things here or there, as kind of a way of saying, hey, you guys need to figure this out, because we were complying. And we didn't get the benefit that we were supposed to get by complying. So now we're going to slowly stop complying and hope that somebody comes to their damn senses and gives us what we're supposed to be getting. So after the assassination of their general, they basically said, you know what? All bets are off. We're going to go back to doing what we were doing before and developing our nuclear program. After all, it worked out great for North Korea. Nobody's messing with them anymore. At least not publicly. So now these other countries, spurred on by the downing of the Ukrainian aircraft with the passengers from all those countries on it, I'm sure that definitely has a hand in it, are issuing a dispute mechanism that is going to potentially have the deal fall all the way through. And let's be honest, if the United States doesn't get back in that deal, there's nothing those other countries can do to help Iran without pissing off the U.S. And I'm not so sure any of those countries are willing to piss off the U.S. because thus far they haven't been willing to do it. So Iran is in a very difficult spot, still on high alert with high tensions towards America. Trump has been caught in several lies. He said that there were no troops injured in the Iranian nuclear strike, or in the Iranian ballistic missile strike towards those bases in Iraq, that we found out that wasn't true. In fact, there were 11 troops that were taken to a facility that specializes in head injuries and brain trauma. So there were American troops harmed, depending on how you define casualty. Some people define it as death only. Some people define it as a death or injury caused by a war-related activity. These would be 11 casualties if you follow that second definition. So we're looking at a potential another war in the Middle East. The amount of troops over there has already been amplified, as I said earlier. Iran is still on high alert. The U.S. is trying to play it cool, but that's also talking about those protests that are going on in the streets of Iran. And I will be blunt and honest, and I don't care what you think about it. I do feel like the U.S. has agents over there spurring things up and getting things moving, because we know that the Trump administration wants regime change in Iran. And what better way to get regime change than to capitalize off the economic trauma that you've caused, to capitalize off of the military, strategic, social, and cultural trauma that you've caused, and to capitalize off the confusion that's been caused by the killing of General Qasem Soleimani. It all just makes sense that the U.S. would have agents over there acting to spur up the civilians in that locale. And the U.S. has done it before. But that doesn't change the fact that Iran has, in fact, done some things that are not good. Same could be said for every country, but I'm not trying to paint them as these victims. They are in a fight with somebody that's much bigger and much more powerful and much more well-resourced than them. And our government wants to be in the Middle East. We feel like it's a part of our national security to be over there, even though most of the terrorists just want us to leave, from what they say anyways. Part of the reason why many of them feel like we are the evil devil, the great devil, is because we are over there meddling in business that they feel like we shouldn't be meddling in. Now, of course, there's a human rights component to that. A lot of those regimes are ruthless. They do abuse people. They do murder people. They do commit various atrocities. And so in that sense, we are over there to protect the civilians from that on face value. But again, that's just face value. That's not necessarily the only thing on the scale when we're weighing our options towards being over there or not being over there. Controlling that region gives us strategic and tactical advantages of a numerous nature, from positioning to resources to locale to influence to everything else. So, but that's the Iran issue. Now, in terms of the impeachment issue, the Iran issue affects the impeachment issue indirectly because Donald Trump's credibility is on the line. And even though at this point he shouldn't have any left, he still does. And I attribute that to him being a rich white man. All that aside, though, impeachment is a political process. All of these people talking about impeachment is nonpartisan and a crime must be committed and this, that, and the third. All of that is foolishness. It's not true. Impeachment is a political process. It is inherently political. Read up the Federalist Paper 65. I went over that when I did the show on impeachment, the show that I released not once, but twice. Because after the first one, people were still asking questions that were answered after I released it the first time. So I released it again. So the fact of the matter is, impeachment is a very political process, and the will of the people are what is at stake here. If the people overwhelmingly feel like Donald Trump needs to be impeached and removed from office, he will be impeached and removed from office. It doesn't matter how loyal various Republican Party members are to him. If the vast majority of the country, if 60, 70% of the country feel like Donald Trump needs to be impeached, he will be impeached. But that number has to be around at or above the 70 percentile number in order for the Congress to actually move in that direction. Anything other than that, which right now we're sitting at roughly 50-50, they feel like they have enough leeway to do the things that they feel like are going to be best for their party without hurting themselves. And that's the key litmus here is, will impeaching Donald Trump hurt me? And unless they feel that it will, they're going to go with the party. And unless the party feels like impeaching him will hurt itself, it's going to stand behind him as a Republican. And that's what we're dealing with here. That is exactly what we're dealing with. So this whole impeachment thing is a propaganda machine. It's a credibility thing. It's a propaganda thing. It's a what the populace believes thing. It is not anything to do with the criminality or any of those other things, because I've talked about that in that other show on impeachment. Fact of the matter is, though, just recently, the OMB declared that Donald Trump did, in fact, break the law when he withheld government congressionally approved aid to the Ukraine. There are mechanisms in those types of appropriations packages that look at the corruption present in a place and verify that it is in fact safe to send this place these funds. So the argument being made that he was doing it because they're a corrupt country, it's not based on anything solid. That is not his role. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have the power to do it, but it is not his role. There is a specific apparatus in the military and in the intelligence agencies that does that, and they did it in this case as well. So looking at the credibility issues and also the belief and faith issues, the Iran situation speaks to the core of that, because this Iran situation is entirely made by Donald Trump. Now, I understand that roots of it go back before his administration, but the where we are here, when he pulled out of the nuclear deal, he set us on this course. And then when he decided to kill the general, he exacerbated the issues caused by pulling out of the nuclear deal. And the nuclear deal, by all accounts, but the Republican, the Trump Republican account, the nuclear deal was working. So the trial has started. They all got sworn in by Chief Justice Roberts to be impartial jurors, although we all know, because they have said it on video, on camera, on national TV, that they will not be impartial jurors. But they put their hands up and swore on that book that all of them supposedly Christian people live by. And it's amazing to me that they would even swear themselves in under oath, under God, under all of these other things, to be unbiased and impartial jurors, knowing that they have already committed themselves to being partial jurors. They're already swayed. They're going into this looking for ways to clear Donald Trump, not looking for the facts of what happened. The facts of what happened are: Donald Trump withheld congressionally approved aid. He asked for a favor. And I'm not getting into the use of terms and all that other stuff. The fact of the matter is, it is illegal for a U.S. president or any government official to ask another government for a favor. Because what happens when you get a favor from somebody? You are owed. You owe them. Sorry, they are owed. And that compromises national security when the president of the United States owes a foreign power a favor. It compromises the national security, because what happens when they call that favor in? And that's the argument that the Democrats have not made very well. The fact of the matter is, he did that. It's in the transcript. This is why "let me ask for a favor" is such a big deal. But not only that, the claim has also been that he didn't break any laws. Well, just recently, we found out he did break a law. And I say we found out, even though those that did the research already knew, but now it's been released by another government association, a government body agency, that in fact a law was broken. So you can't say he didn't break any law anymore. You can't use the corruption angle. Talked about that. You can't say he didn't break any laws. Talked about that. And you can't say that him asking for a favor or using that terminology is not a big deal. Talked about that. All three of those things are big deals. And the fact that what he wanted investigated had already been investigated and was of no consequence to anything outside of discrediting a political opponent. Because let's be clear, if Biden was not running for president, Trump would not be trying to have this investigation started. Let's just be clear on that now. So it is very much about the politics of the situation here. And at the heart of all of this is the Ukraine. The Ukrainian airliner shot down by Iran. The phone call was to the Ukrainian government. Hunter Biden and all of that other stuff. All of that is tied to the Ukraine. So the Ukraine, despite its reluctancy, has gotten involved. And recently, one of the Rudy Giuliani associates came out and said that Donald Trump knew everything that was going on, because that was another argument. Donald Trump didn't know. And Rudy has said from the start, Donald Trump knew everything that was going on. So now you have two people that are involved in this situation on a high level, both saying Donald Trump knew exactly what. We honestly know that Donald Trump knew what was going on. Come on, we're not that retarded. Okay. So that's what we're dealing with. This week has been just a crazy week, and it's going to get crazier because the trial has started and there are going to be theatrics because that's what Donald Trump wants. It doesn't matter what Senator McConnell wants. He's going to try to make it a solemn event and try to play it straight. Donald Trump wants the circus. He wants the show, and he will attack anybody, Republican or Democrat, that's not giving him what he wants. That's why so many people have been resigned or are retired or kicked out of this administration. You will give him what he wants, or you will be gone. And he will attack you until you are gone. He is a bully. Pay attention, black folk. Pay attention, because this does have implications on us. What happens here? Because Donald Trump has been issuing several dog whistles for white supremacists, and they have definitely increased their activity under his regime. What happens if he does get impeached? Because these Trump loyalists, they're a different kind of loyalist than we've seen from any other president. We're talking about people that were willing to get their guns, get in their cars, and drive to the border to shoot immigrants. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about people that have stated that if Donald Trump is impeached, there will be a bloody, violent revolt. That's what we're talking about. And beyond all of the other political, social, and cultural ramifications, we're talking about real life and death here, potentially. Now, they could just be running their mouths. It's possible. But it's also possible that they not. Maybe we do a show one day on the physics or the politics of the situation and why black people need to be more involved. But that ain't this show. I just wanted to give you guys a rundown of what's been happening. These three topics are very significant. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. Even if something happens that gets them things to cover them up, they're still going to be there. Kind of like the Korean story, the Hong Kong story. Hong Kong is still in protest to this very day. They're still fighting the Chinese and their own government. That's still happening. Taiwan is still happening. All of these stories, Venezuela is still happening. The Sudan is still happening. All those stories that I've covered in the past, they're still happening. Catalonia is still happening. Things are just moving and we forget, unless we're in the region. So, that's been this show. Let me know what you think. Hope you enjoyed it. And I will talk to you guys next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen. Hold up. Before we go, this just came across the desk. Literally the desk, because my phone is sitting on the desk. Trump says the Soleimani strike followed the general saying bad things. Now, I'm not going to get into this, but this is foolishness. If he sent the drone over there to assassinate this man because he said bad things about America, because he said something that wasn't a threat, it wasn't planning an attack, it wasn't an order, he just said bad things. Man, stop it.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for listening to Lessons from the Screen. I want to ask you guys to go to, if you have an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo of the train. Download the app, get the app. It'll keep you up to date on all of the shows and everything else that's going on here at the Freedom Train Network. Also, head on over to www.freedomtrainradio.com and check out all the shows. Leave comments, leave reviews. If you want to reach us or say anything to us, that's the best way to do it. Because if you just reach out through your social media, your a podcast listening app or YouTube or whatever, we don't check all of those things, but we do check the we do check the website. So go there. Also, I just want to thank you guys once again for tuning in, and see you next week. Let me know what you think about the show you just listened to. Let me know if you agree, disagree, you felt like I missed something. Whatever it is, just holla at your boy, and I will see you next week or whenever the next show comes out. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show again, hit us up on the Freedom Train Radio website and let us know that you're interested in sponsoring a particular show or the entire network.